This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Doug and Jackie of Proton Studio are here live to talk about the recently released single-player co-op arcade shooter, Time Rifters. No Oculus Rift required. Tonight is October 26, 2014, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. You guys are all going to get so drunk. Every time we mention the Oculus Rift, people drink. Got to have a lot of drunk people in chat room. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on an interview-filled night at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent questions and comments from chat throughout the night. And if you're signed into the website, you can check in and get points that give you points. And we like you, and we smile. Just like Fifth Dream and SSJ100 Matt, who played Civ Beyond Earth just up until the last moment, and he still was one of the first two to check in. Congrats to him. They got some points. If you're listening on the podcast feed, somewhere in this podcast episode, you will hear a passphrase, and you can put that in on the site for the same amount of points. A little bit later on, after the interview, we're going to open up the Skype line and a toll-free number for you to call in about anything I'm not talking about this week, because I've got an awesome interview that everybody's going to get drunk over. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show. That is all one word, or you can call me toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website. But tonight we have an interview, live interview here. We have Doug and Jackie. They are from Proton Studio, and they're here to talk about Time Rifters. So the first question I want to ask you guys is, why does Time Rifters not suck?
Okay, well, how about you give the tagline for it, Jackie?
So you get to play with yourself in a unique first-person shooter take on a tower defense.
Yeah, so that's what we're working on, trying to explain it that way. You also get an awesome dubstep soundtrack. If you love it, that's great. Or if you hate it, you can just torture your friends with it.
You get to play with yourself.
Yeah.
And that got past Steam censors.
That's what most of the reviews are saying, too. So, yeah, it seems like it's fine.
So tell us a little bit about this game.
Basically, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, it's a single-player co-op shooter. And you have four lives, and your goal is to destroy as many enemies as possible. And
yeah, so it's like a score attack where the base gameplay is kind of tower defense. Things are trying to get past you, get away from you, and you can't possibly kill them all on your first life, so you're joined by your ghosts to continue playing alongside you to destroy more and more of them, and you earn gold, upgrade your weapons, and try to get a high score.
So basically, it's you know, you have your first life and you do your stuff, and then the second life, your first life is still there. It's kind of like I think it's like Ratchet and Clank Future Perfect had some of this mechanic in some of their puzzles. And then you keep going through the four, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell it's a bit tricky to explain, and that's why it's perfect for YouTubers. They get to spend a whole 20 minutes explaining it to their audience. So it's a perfect game for YouTube that way.
So it's part shooter, but also part puzzler, is the way. Is there any shooting back? Like, can I die in this?
No, you can't die in it. We did design this for, here's the drinking game part, the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 1. And we originally, in our very first prototype, did have the enemy shooting back at you. But we found that we couldn't see the bullets. The resolution was too low, and we were getting frustrated as we were getting hit by things. So we just decided, no, let's find another way to do this. Because it was originally going to be like Contra, the original Nintendo
game. That was our initial design kind of goal.
And we did carry some things from Contra over. There's these doors that you shoot. And if you look at them, they're very heavily inspired by the doors in the second level of Contra that you shoot to open them up. Very similar.
So, you know, you bring up that this was for the VR Jam last year, and it was it's a crying shame it didn't place. and I was very vocal about that. that I felt, you know, I mean, Dumpy was funny,
yeah,
but Time Rifter should have been at least in the top three. But you've got a monitor version of it now. So the question that I'm going to ask is usually the reverse of what people hear when they talk about, oh, we had a game and we made it for the Oculus Rift. What was the biggest game design decision you had to make to go from VR into monitor gaming?
Oh, well, I don't know if we really had to do anything different, actually. The hardest part was making it work in VR. And naturally, when I'm running it in the editor, it's better to do it in non-VR. You can't actually do VR in Unity. And Unity is the engine we're using. Mm-hmm. So it was making a lot of sense to make it work in both. And it's harder to make it work in VR. So we do everything in non-VR and then test it immediately to make sure it still works okay.
In VR.
Yeah, so it really wasn't an issue to make it work on a regular monitor. It was a bigger issue to make it work in VR.
So you don't really need a Rift to enjoy this experience?
No, not at all.
No.
So I got a philosophical question as well, kind of about the Oculus Rift, because I've had a friend talk to me about things, and he's even seen me play Time Rifters and stuff, and he's skeptical of the whole VR movement as well. And you know, one of the question that he asked me is that there is, and I'm going to ask you guys this as well: is there any game, not demo, not experience, but any game or any demo that has gameplay? We'll add that. Any game that you've seen that you just can't do with a monitor? Is there something that you absolutely have to have the Oculus Rift to get that kind of gameplay?
Well, I definitely wouldn't say Time Rifters is like that.
No.
It does add to it in the same way that multiplayer adds to a game. You know, it's an additional thing. The closest I've seen, and I don't know what you think about this, Jax, is Private Eye.
Yeah.
This is a game that it's still in the demo phase, but they did put out, it's like a story-driven game. And what you do is you're sitting in a car and you can look around the car and you pull up beside another one. And that feeling of actually looking at this car that you're pulling up beside, nothing can really replicate that.
Like, it is something that could be played on a monitor, but you'd lose so much of the game and the ability to just experience the world around you and look. And, like, the whole game, you're kind of stuck in one place for a lot of it. So being able to look and just feel like you're there looking around and experiencing the world.
It's pretty cool for VR. Yeah.
So developing an Oculus Rift game right now, and this is a thing that I'm because I mean we're all being in the community and seeing all the updates and everything. How scared are you of developing an Oculus Rift game right now when the SDK is in so much flux?
I don't think I'm very scared at all. Are you scared?
No, it's been interesting, but
yeah, it's more exciting that way.
Yeah, we just iterate for each one. And
everything's always in flux, though. I mean, I've been using Unity for probably 8 years now, and it is constantly in flux. Every time they release an update, I just think, like, what's going to break this time? And, something does break, and we have to go find it. But every time they break something or put something new in, there's also something cool and fun to play with, some new feature to play with.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, there's bads and there's, you know, negatives, positives.
It's just part of development.
Yeah, and it also makes it a little more exciting, too. Especially what you're seeing now with early access games. You're seeing evolving games, what I like to think of as living games. And that is a necessary thing. Rust is a cool game that's started out on Unity 4, and they've just started using Unity 5. And there's all kinds of things that are changing, and the game's evolving, and the players are part of that community. And it's a new thing, a living game. This is kind of a new idea, and I really like
it. It's really intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in about Time Rifters, because Time Rifters has also evolved over the past year, Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com asks, so it's like Contra, does it have the spread gun? You added all these other guns into this version that I wasn't used to, and you took away my favorite gun, which was the one that you guys always started with in the original demos.
So your favorite one? Which one is your favorite one?
The one that actually shot straight.
The lightning gun?
Or no, it was whatever, like
the pistol?
The basic one or something.
Oh, the pistol.
When I added, made it shoot really fast.
Yeah, that was probably the pistol, which is now our worst weapon. And, you know, we get to watch lots of YouTube videos. This is the most fun part right now, is watching other people play it. And in the past, when we watched people play, we would cringe a lot when they fell into a pit. Or, I don't know, there'd be some things that would make us cringe.
When we know we did something wrong.
That's how you know you did something wrong. YouTube is amazing for that feedback. But now the only time we kind of have a little cringe is when someone chooses that pistol, which is very similar to the first weapon from the original, like, DK1 demo.
You should have heard. I didn't stream my first time playing it, and you should have heard. I'm like, where's my gun? The bullets are falling. I don't like this.
Yeah, did you feel weak?
I did.
That's the point. That's the point. You want to feel weak at the beginning, see all these blocks get away from you, and then have that power progression where you start feeling like, yeah, I can do this. I'm getting powerful. You get that in a lot of games. We get that in Skyrim, but it takes 40 hours to get that feeling. So, yeah. You know, you encounter that first frost troll, and he just destroys you and kills Lydia, and then you're like, oh, great. But you go, you power up for about 10 hours doing side quests, come back, and you teach that frost troll. Yeah, light him on fire.
So tell us about the guns that are in the game, because I know there is kind of a spread gun type thing in it.
Yeah, there is a spread gun. It's called the spread rifle. Yeah. This originally was just a rifle that shot straight forward, but to make it more interesting, it now shoots a horizontal spread, and you can upgrade how many horizontal shots come out of it. What else?
So it starts at like 3, and then you add more and more. So it's eventually just this whole like
you could
wide
even
fan
focus
of,
it, right?
Yeah.
And if you focused it, it would turn into a sniper rifle. This is pretty weird.
And then we also created a particle ball.
Oh, the particle ball is the coolest one.
Kind of melee weapon.
Oh yeah, I use that one a lot.
Yeah, it's this giant floating ball that goes in front of you. And we were trying to a challenge with that one. How do you see through this giant ball that's in front of you? And what we did is we used a rim shader, so only the edges of the ball are actually visible. But it's enough to tell there's a giant ball floating in front of you.
Yeah.
And it looks cool in VR, this giant thing with depth in front of you.
We're talking to Doug and Jackie from Proton Studio. They're talking about Time Rifters. This is live, so if you have a question, live.vognetwork.com, just like Tiger Claw asked one a little bit earlier. One of the things I also noticed that people should probably know, because I didn't realize this the first time I played through, is that when you play the normal game, you're doing these episodes, and there's 5 stages in an episode. I think that's the way you guys terminology it. But once you choose what gun you have in the first stage, those are, like, your first guy will always have that gun. You can't switch out. So what was the impetus for doing that? Because sometimes some levels require different guns than one of the other levels.
Well, that's a good reason, because this way you are forced to think ahead and choose your weapons that are going to work best. So you can't choose all the same weapon just to dominate one level and then, you know, change them all to another. Because every level has built-in strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And each gun has built-in strengths and weaknesses.
And so we figured each episode's about 20 to 30 minutes playtime, like to play through the entire thing. So being able to find the strategy that works best for the entire episode, it's easy to go back and replay it using different weapons, different strategies.
Different upgrades.
Yeah.
And some upgrades are not necessarily beneficial, but you find They're that fun. Out as you play. I did think it would be kind of cool to have some upgrades that, you know, are actually negative, but you don't find out until you've bought it and you've wasted some money on it. So
we won't spoil which ones those are.
Yeah, and there's certainly some that are really, really valuable. So you'll see people, when there's doing a Twitch stream, people will be shouting in the chat, choose this upgrade, choose this upgrade, and you get that cool audience interaction. However, since the guy playing it is in the Rift, he can't see anything that's going on, so people are screaming at him and he can't see it.
That's why when I did Rift stuff, I would have somebody like on Skype talking to me, and they would be my eyes in chat.
And that's like actually that one defusal game.
Yeah, and that's actually what I did. I think I streamed Time Rifters a while ago. In fact, some people in chat are like, oh, I remember you streaming this last year. And that's how I did it, is that I had people, and it actually sold the Rift, sold some people on the Rift once they saw Time Rifters.
Pretty nice.
So, and just so people know, we do actually have a giveaway of some codes. So, but if you want to go ahead and buy it now, it's like, what, $9 right now?
Yep.
It's on sale 10% off, so it's like $9.
Yeah, so it's $9 right now on Steam. So you can go ahead and get it and support them. But we do have some giveaways for both the live listeners and podcast audience, so thank you guys for that. One of the things I want to talk about is, because this is a single-player game that people think should be multiplayer, you still put in a multiplayer aspect, but it's not the same way people would assume that you would do it. So talk about the Let's Replay feature.
Yeah, we definitely like to do weird things. I mean, obviously, we're doing virtual reality, which is weird, so it's not unusual that we would want to take a weird look at multiplayer. Jax, how about you describe it?
So, Let's Replay is our asynchronous multiplayer, where you can, people like friends, YouTubers, podcasters, anybody playing can record a playthrough using 2 lives, upload it to the Steam Workshop, and then anyone else with the game can download it and play alongside their ghosts to get a high score on that replay.
Yeah, so it's a good way for YouTubers to reach out to our audience. They can advertise themselves in our game. They can put up an ad for their channel, introduce themselves, talk about what they do, and it's kind of a symbiotic relationship.
I have not recorded one of these yet. I feel so bad, because I should have done it.
How come?
Time.
time. Okay, it's cool.
But it's actually kind of neat because I went in there and you guys actually have a developer commentary.
Yes, we do.
We have
two of them.
Where you like look and you pull back the curtain and you'll be like, you'll talk about things that people probably didn't notice about the certain levels and then almost not finish the level.
Yeah. Well, we get distracted. It's hard to talk and play games. And that's another thing we wanted to do is we were making this feature made for YouTubers, made for people who like to talk to people. Mm-hmm. So we had to get in their head and get in the head of a YouTuber the same way that an actor will get in the head of a serial killer, I guess. And so to do that, we had to make our own. We had to make some YouTube videos on our own as well just to see what are the struggles they have when making a regular YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And then we had to make our own Let's Replays to make sure that we understand the struggles they go through.
Yeah, like what's needed for audio. How do they
and
know
audio
if the audio
is
working? How does it all just come together?
Yeah, making high quality, good sounding audio. Like we've got two headsets going into the computer right now. That's hard.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it'd be that tricky.
I've been doing this for like 9+ years, and it's hard to try to do this and not have things, you know, just in internet radio. And, you know, like a lot of people, you know, pulling behind the curtain of this show, Doug and Jackie don't hear the music. So when they're already on the line, and I had to like make it to where so it didn't like reverb their own voice. They can't hear the music, but they can hear me talking. So like there was like 5 minutes of silence before this started for them, and except like when I chime in for like 10 seconds, it's hard.
Yeah, and I bet, was it Time Rifter's music that was playing?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw people like, oh, what's this horrible dubstep? And we did get that complaint. We thought it fit really good with the game. Mm-hmm. But we did know that when we started marketing that it's dubstep, people just revolted against it. They hate that word. But when they hear it, they usually
in-game
like the music.
They're like, oh, this actually
they say
fits.
It fits.
Yeah.
It fits good. And you know why it fits is because, we'll explain how you got that
to
fit.
It's energetic. No, and the music was created per level. So the musicians actually had the levels and could see how the enemies came out and everything.
Yeah, she made videos of the level, sent it to the musicians, and they made a score for that level.
Right.
So it's timed up as there's transitions, as there's different waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like some of them are like only 30 seconds long, but it ends, and I mean, it really does fit. And I even said it's good dubstep, and they're like, that's an oxymoron.
I know. There's different genres of dubstep.
Yeah.
I guess there's trance dubstep and all kinds. I personally do like some dubstep. I hate some dubstep
as
well.
Some's horrible.
Some of it just hurts your ears. But there's good stuff out there. I don't know. But it's all a personal matter of taste. And that's the thing, is everybody has different tastes. And that's why we needed to sort of keep it in mind when we're making different weapons or different features. Not everybody's going to like the same thing we do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, going back to the Let's Play, what's the cool? Because I did some of the Let's Replay stuff, and there was one YouTuber that I did play their playthrough of the first episode, and it was kind of neat because they were like, okay, so here's our strategy. You're going to go over here on the right. I'm going to take care of the stuff on the left, and blah blah blah. And we actually 100%ed the whole thing, which was neat. What's the coolest Let's Replay that you've seen other than your own developer commentary?
You told me you saw something funny where somebody went into the arena, and what did he say? He said, I'll go left, you go right.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
What happened then?
And then he's like, okay, and then he ran to the right. He's like, haha, I tricked you.
Yeah.
He's going up and shooting.
So he's doing an anti-strategy, trying to screw you up.
And then there was another one that was in one of the levels, and he walked in, and he didn't quite know how to get the enemies to appear, so he was just standing there for half the level until he figured it out. So I just sat there watching him, waiting to see if he'd figure it out. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah,
but it is kind of neat, guys, because they they allow you to have the commentary, so they can talk in the little loading zone, and then they go in, and so it's a co-op experience with someone that you're not actually playing with, and it is a very neat thing. It's something that is very unique in gaming, and I know that when you guys announced it, a lot of people were like, why can't I just play online with my friends, you know? So why didn't you do like a live online multiplayer component of like people, somebody and their three friends?
So I guess multiplayer is a complex problem. It's hard to say what people would have wanted exactly,
and with the style of game, it's kind of hard because a lot of multiplayer games, there's a lot of unpredictability and
replayability.
With ours, the enemies always spawn in the same kind of pattern. And to get four people playing all at once, we'd have to have a huge number of enemies and performance. And there's just a lot of technical things that...
Yeah, and if we changed the gameplay style to make it more of a PvP style, mm-hmm. it's suddenly a different game. It has more replay value, but now you're talking about a very different game and not what we envisioned making.
Yeah, and this is more of a puzzle or a high score attack.
Yeah.
And you kind of need the multiple, you know, you have your multiple tries. That's kind of the whole point of the game instead of just, because if you take that away, it's just blocks.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So why did you go with just blocks instead of regular, like, humanoid aliens or something like that?
So blocks originally started because it's the lowest polygon thing you can do and make it something that's an enemy that you can shoot at. Because we needed a very fast frame rate to get it to work comfortably in virtual reality. We needed, I guess on the DevKit 1, hundreds of frames with VSync turned off to get it to be comfortable. On DevKit 2, you needed 75 frames. And apparently on the consumer one, 90 frames per second is what they say you need. So you need things to be as low polygon as possible, but we still wanted there to be lots to shoot at. So do you make one enemy out of a whole bunch of polygons, or do you make a whole bunch of enemies out of fewer
lower
polygons?
Yeah.
And then the whole enemy acts as a progress indicator. So that seemed like a very good way to do it.
So one of the things that you guys you talk about this in the developer commentary as well, but I think this came out of you watching YouTube's. You saw that people like to not play the game and just try to escape the arena.
Yeah.
So talk about like the genesis of that and that you guys started actually accommodating that.
Well, one of the first times we showed it to somebody.
My brother.
Yeah, Doug's brother. I think it was around the VR Jam time. That's the first thing he did. He went into the arena and he just started jumping.
Climbing the walls.
Yeah, climbing the walls. And trying to escape. So.
And I was like, that's not how you're supposed to play it. You know, don't do that. But
he's like, but it's fun. So he's trying to. And so as soon as he did that, we're like, yeah, okay, we got to build that in. We don't want to build invisible walls. We don't want to lock them in.
Yeah.
We want a game of freedom where people have freedom to choose whatever weapon they want, play however they want. So if they want to escape, we'll build that into the game.
Yeah.
And that's actually the first thing I did on the stream. I'm like, okay, this is Time Rifters. Okay, now watch me jump out of the arena. And, like, and you know, this was in, I think it was in 1.5. So you had the main menu screen.
Yep.
Where I was trying to jump out of. And I'm like, so I jump here. And it actually took, like, I could do it in, like, 2 seconds until I started streaming. And then it was like a 5-minute ordeal just to hit the second jump. And I'm like, okay, I'm out. And then you guys actually like build like a rainbow bridge.
Yes.
For people to fall on.
That felt important. Sometimes we get ideas and we don't know if they're good or not. And this is one that I thought was a cool idea. Having a little reward, a rainbow bridge for people to talk about. And these people will be all part of the club that have found the rainbow bridges. And, you know, it took us a while to be 100% sure that, yes, this is a cool idea. Let's make sure every level has one. We had to go back and change some of the levels to make sure that they worked that way. But I felt it just – sometimes you feel that something's important and you don't know why. You just kind of have to do it.
And then eventually you started actually creating the escape routes in the levels.
Yep. Some of them actually have them as almost a puzzle where you have to try and find it.
Yep.
So it's not glitching out the level. It's intentional.
So if somebody, if people in chat, this is actually going to be a question that I'm going to ask as well. So we've got some keys to give away. And it's going to be the same question for both the people in chat as well as the podcast listeners. I'm not going to give all the keys away to the live listeners. But basically, if you are live here on VogNetwork.com, you need to send me a private message. The chat room, so you can click on my name, double-click on my name if you're using the website widget, and that should open up a window. And what I want you to tell me, and I'm going to repeat some of these, is what is the one daily task in your normal life that you wish you could have a co-op ghost of yourself help you with? So if you get write your answer, and I'll pick a couple of them, and I will give you a Steam key for Time Rifters. It also includes the soundtrack, so you can get that dubstep anywhere you want. So you can do that. I will pick a few. And if you're on the podcast feed, that same question, email your answer to contest@bobbyblackwolf.com. Throughout the week, I will be at the end of the week before the about a week after the podcast episode goes up, which podcast episode doesn't come up on Sunday. So I will then choose a couple there. And that way, you know, we can get everybody covered. So thank you guys for providing that. But what about you guys? What is the one daily task in your normal life you wish you could have a co-op ghost of yourself help you with?
Drive the car. Yeah. I don't want to I want a self-driving car.
Housework. Yeah, self-driving car. I don't drive.
So. Oh, yeah.
That would be nice.
So what's next for you guys at Proton Studio?
We're not 100% sure. We only usually like to plan about 2 weeks into the future. So we've got the new SDK that came out from Oculus, and we want to integrate that. It's a really cool update. This is making the game from... it can make me sick sometimes to being buttery smooth, and it's very surreal. So I'm looking forward to getting that one released, and we have all the code done. We're just going to be testing that today. And beyond that,
We've gotten a couple of little tweaks to the game, like fixing the scatter pistol is something we're going to look at, and making a couple of little changes, and just supporting the game, and then look at our next project, which we're not too sure about quite yet.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Are you guys going to be patenting the Let's Replay system?
No.
No.
So if anybody has any questions left, we've got a couple minutes left and we can talk. Live.vognetwork.com. A lot of people are like totally agree on the self-driving car. Then they could sleep on the way to work.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the answers that we've gotten so far in chat. Let's see. Brad from Pod Culture says podcast editing. Get a co-op ghost of himself podcast. Now, you realize you have to create the ghost first, doing the podcast editing, and then he does it with you. Raginator says he would help cleaning the apartment. And then Fifth Dream says he would love to have a ghost go to work for him every day so he can sit around and play games instead. So those are some of the answers we've got so far. So how is it? I mean, the game came out on Tuesday. How's the reaction been so far?
It's been really cool. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing we've seen on YouTube was...
Well, Jacksepticeye played it. So
yeah, he's
gotten,
a pretty big YouTuber.
Yeah,
and how many views on that?
I think about 400... 1,000 from that one, and we've gotten around 50 other YouTubers, and some of those are made multiple videos. So
yeah, and the comments are all very positive. They want to see more videos, and yeah, it's really cool.
Buchigawa says when he gets hungry and he wants food now, he wants someone to jump up and make his food for him while he's working or gaming. So we've got people thinking about that. Like I said, contests at BobbyBlackWolf.com if you're listening on the podcast feed. Or keep on sending me some private messages at live.vognetwork.com. I'll choose a couple and send those the codes. So where can people find out more information about Proton Studio, either like on the web or on Twitter or on Facebook or YouTube or whatever?
Well, they can check out our Steam page for sure. It's got a lot of information about the game, and we post announcements there.
Yeah, join the community group. That's probably the coolest way. Because Steam, I kind of see it as a social network. So it's almost the best one to be if you're a game developer. Join the community hub on the Time Rifters page. And yeah, right in Steam.
And then we've also got our at Time Rifters on Twitter or timerifters.net.
Yeah.
And Bujigawa asks, are there achievements or Steam cards?
We don't have Steam cards. We thought about making that. It just takes a lot of time to make high quality artwork. But we do have achievements.
Yes,
we do.
There you go. So you can get your achievements up and everything and play on Steam. So thank you guys so much for spending some Sunday night with me. One last question I want to ask. Other than your own game, if you have time, what other games are you playing right now?
I play Counter-Strike almost every night. What do you play?
I like Civ 5 and Drox Operative.
And you're playing Skyrim last night.
Yeah, and Skyrim last night. Those are my go-to games right now.
Have you picked up Beyond Earth yet or no?
We've watched some Let's Play or reviews, I guess, and it's not pulling me in. I prefer when you understand who you're playing against. Like if you see Gandhi or if you see, you know Russia, and you see actual recognizable things. I don't know.
It's a bit more character to it.
Yeah, it's more character.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Get back to Skyrim and Counter-Strike and all that stuff. I want to thank you guys for being on. We are actually going to be playing a song, and it's going to be on the podcast as well. So tell us about your relationship with him. This is Artis, and this is actually Time to Reflect, which is really like the first song you hear in the game. Tell us a little bit about working with him and some of the other people that you were that you had doing music.
Yeah, they were all awesome to work with. We just found some great musicians that had awesome music that we thought would fit, and yeah, just sent them each of the levels, and
we should have got Bobby to do a track. Dubstep, Bobby?
No, I can only do 8-bit music. That's about all I can do these days.
Okay, well, we'll keep it in mind then.
I'll do voiceovers for your next game, though.
Okay, yeah, a crazy radio station.
Yes,
like in Fallout.
Yes,
it could be just you and Alex Jones, just those two stations.
There you go.
Nonstop.
Awesome. So this is Time to Reflect from Artis. Thanks so much, Proton Studio, Doug and Jackie, for being with me. So we're going to check this out, and then we'll take your calls about anything else in the gaming industry if you've been playing Beyond Earth or Fantasia or anything else this week. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Jonathan Hemingway, game designer with Gearbox Software, and you're listening to my favorite show on the Citadel, The Bobby Blackwolf Show.
That's right. I'm the favorite one podcast on the Citadel. Thank you so much for Proton Studio for being here. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be a game designer from Gearbox or Proton Studio. You can just send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and it's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of audiobooks on there. Makes any of them your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackwolf. So I'm not going to open the phones just yet because I do want to talk about some other games that I've been playing that are not Time Rifters. I got two new games this week that just came out. And the first one I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about this one first because I didn't play it as much. And it's Civilization Beyond Earth, which I hinted to in the call earlier. I ordered it like that day, the right before it unlocked. So I got the little Amazon credit and stuff. But I did get to play it. It's different enough from Civilization to be interesting and keep my interest. So I'm still kind of trying to figure out, you know, like, because they get rid of, like, the victory conditions that you're used to don't really exist anymore. So you do kind of have to try to, you know, rethink things a little bit. But it is still base Civilization. So it's interesting. I'm hoping to play. I've only played it for 4 hours, which was one game on a small map, and I got a contact victory, which I didn't even know I was going for a contact victory until I got close to it. I'm like, oh, maybe I should just finish this, because that's totally not the way I was doing my Civ. But one thing that I'm going to say is for new players is that if you assume that the indigenous life forms on this planet, because essentially you're basically landing on an alien world with a lot of other humans that came from a depleted Earth, and you're all trying to get on this planet that has no intelligent life, but it does have life. So if you try to assume that the alien life is like the barbarians, where they're kill on sight, you know, the minute they see you, they attack you. You are going to get wiped out even on the easiest difficulties. So you need to realize that if you leave most of the aliens alone, they'll leave you alone for the most part. There are some that will attack you no matter what, and some are even, you know, very, very, very powerful and will wipe you out for no reason. They're the sandworms. They kind of remind you of from Dune, D-U-N-E, not D-O-O-M. And so if they start attacking your city, you're kind of screwed. But you can actually, like, harness them and use them against other cities if you choose the right path. But it's really interesting. The tech tree is not as linear, which makes it kind of hard to figure out. So it's a very different. It's not Civilization VI by any means. But it is it's holding my attention for now. But as Doug and Jackie said earlier, you don't have recognizable names. It's not rooted in history. It's rooted in a future history that they created. There's a little bit of a disconnect. So it is kind of a different game. Kind of like there was the Civilization V mod that turned everything steampunk. It's kind of like that. Except more on a larger scale. So I look forward to playing it if I ever get, 24 free hours in a row. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, Pyramid. SJ Wonder Matt even says, Siege worms are jerks. Those are the ones from Dune. And Siege says there's and Sky says he can take the aliens except for the siege worms, but that's what the electric fences are for. So there are other improvements that you can buy that help mitigate that. But in the early game, you're kind of, if you are like me and we're like, oh, aliens, I should attack them to level them up, and then they just keep coming, and they don't stop. And I'm like, I'm playing on the easiest difficulty, and I'm about to get wiped out by the barbarians. Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, we come in peace, shoot to kill. The other game that I played this week that came out on, I played on the Xbox One. It is basically the only reason to even worry about a Kinect for the Xbox One, and that's Disney's Fantasia Music Evolved. This is Harmonix's latest game. And the easiest way I can explain what this is, for people who've never seen it, there actually is a demo on Xbox One. I don't know if – I know it came out – I think it came out on Xbox 360 as well, and I think there's a demo for it on the 360. The easiest way to explain Disney's Fantasia Music Evolved is this is what people who have never conducted an orchestra think conducting an orchestra is like. That is the simplest description I can give of this game. So it doesn't use your legs, so you can actually play it sitting down. Basically, you're doing sweep. You're doing these different gestures. It's a lot like Elite Beat Agents in that sense, even Theatrhythm, Final Fantasy, where you're making sweeping gestures, and you're not necessarily trying to put them in the same place they are on the screen, which means you can do a couple shortcuts for certain things, but you're doing sweep gestures, punching gestures, and, you know, tracing things, which is the only time you really do need to worry about positioning. But what it showed me is, even though Nick Chester at Harmonix kind of went at me about this, because I mentioned this on Twitter, it shows that the Kinect still has problems detecting fast movements in a very fast area. I finally kind of figured out the timing of it, where you actually have to do the gesture before the beat. You have to be very ahead of the beat, because you need to be in the middle of the gesture when the beat happens. So it's not as much rhythm-centric, but the problem is you have to be so far ahead of the beat that some of the faster sections, where you have to do a whole lot of fast gestures, it can't pick up all of them. And there are also symmetrical gestures where they want your hands to do the same thing, and it will only pick up one of your arms and say that you failed on the other one, but the arm that it picked up on is actually the opposite one from the one that it's showing that you got, because there's a little silhouette, and it actually shows you on your silhouette what it's tracking. There's still some, and motion tracking is not an exact science, and it's very difficult to do. It's not as easy as, you know, a button press. But it still shows that, you know, the Kinect isn't there fully for fast movements. When it was slow, or when there wasn't that many movements to do, it worked beautifully. And once I figured out the timing and how to do it, but I'm never going to be able to get 100%, because the Kinect just can't track my movements in a song for the entire song. But it's interesting. It's kind of fun. They have a bunch of different remixes that you can unlock through the game. It's a very Disney-esque story, a wizard and an apprentice, another apprentice that was not as good as you and stuff. So it's a very Disney story. There's some classical, but it's more modern music than the classical music. It is kind of interesting. It's kind of neat. I did play the multiplayer a little bit, which was kind of fun, because we, you know, tried not to smack each other. It works kind of for two-player multiplayer. It works okay. I mean, they do kind of space out what you're supposed to do, so you're not always smacking each other. Sometimes they do have to, you know, the other person does have to put their arm out, and it covers part of you up, and so it doesn't actually track you. It's not, not an exact science or anything like that. But it was actually pretty fun. We kept playing for a while. Well, you know, one more song, one more song, one more song. And what it does that's kind of nice is that there is a thing in Fantasia called party mode, where because if you play normally, you have to actually unlock all the tracks, and then you have to unlock each individual mix. So you actually have to play the song at least three times or maybe like later songs, you have to play it at least twice to unlock the track and unlock all the mixes, because you can only unlock one mix at a time. So you play the song, and that would unlock the first mix if you get enough high enough score. Then you have to play it again to unlock the second mix. So you actually have to go through and unlock everything, or you can turn on party mode. It turns off all the goals and stuff, but not the achievements. We still got achievements. But it turns off all the goals and unlocks everything right from the start. So if you just want to play the songs and not worry about the story, you could just do that, and that'll get you through. They do have some downloadable content of new songs, but one of the things that's kind of interesting is that they actually have mix packs, where it's songs that are on the disc, but they'll sell you a pack of six more mixes. So some songs will now have four mixes instead of three, and then you can decide which ones you want to be shown, because you can only have three mixes selected at a time. But it's kind of fun. I would have more fun if I didn't feel like I was fighting the controller, which has always been my complaint with Harmonix games, because I always feel like I'm fighting the controller, because I know that what I'm doing is good enough. Especially like in Rock Band, I fight the drum set all the time, because I know that I'm on the beat, because I get paid to be on the beat. And I've even like watched video where I'm on the beat. It just doesn't detect it all the time. And, you know, I know that my hands or arms are doing something very symmetrical because I can see the video on the screen and it's just not picking it up. So that's kind of my big thing, is that I'd enjoy it more if I didn't feel like I was fighting the controller as much, but I'm still enjoying myself. Do I think it's worth the full price? I'm not exactly sure, and it's because of the controller. It's because of the Kinect. And, you know, so, I mean, should you buy a Kinect for your Xbox One and this game? I'm not so sure. But if you like this kind of game and you already have the Kinect with Xbox One, I think you would get enjoy this. SJ100Matt says, since you can't put your arms down, you basically have to play like Ralphie's brother in A Christmas Story. That is the thing, is that, you know, you do have to like learn that you don't want to really hold your arms up. You kind of need to go back down to a ready position and then, you know, wave your arm around, because sometimes you'll like, they'll say, okay, you have to put your arms, you know, put both arms up and hold them. And then your very next cue is a sweep cue up. And so you have to actually bring your arms back down and then go back up. And sometimes it'll see that downward motion as the motion you're trying to do. And then it'll say, oh, nope, you went down, not up. Fail. But it is a lot more forgiving than you think. And you can't fail a song. You do not fail a song. It's so you play through the whole song no matter how bad you're doing. So, I'm going to open up the phone lines real quick. I talked a little bit longer on that than I thought I would. So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about Civ Beyond Earth, Disney Fantasia Music Evolved. I did not pick up Bayonetta 2, which came out for the Wii U on Friday. I mean, this is, you know, there's games coming out. Time Rifters came out. This was a great week for games. Something for everybody. So if you play Bayonetta 2, tell me how that is. I've only played the demo. And it was Bayonetta. It was action-packed and everything. I did enjoy the first Bayonetta. I actually did beat the first Bayonetta. I don't beat that many games. If you picked up that, let me know how that was. ActF says, so the game has Bobby Blackwolf mode activated all the time. Yeah, because at least it lets you finish. We do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Eric RPG.
Eric RPG, what's up, man?
Anyways, I've been playing a couple games this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I did an Extra Life marathon, although I don't think anybody watched it.
But you did it. But yeah. You still did it, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and nobody donated either, but I still did it. And I'm going to continue doing streams over the course of a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. whenever I feel like it. But the games I've been playing are Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
And Shantae... The Pirate's Curse.
So tell me about Bayonetta 2. Did you play the first one? I mean, I know this one comes with it.
Yeah, I played the original back on the 360.
All right. So how is this compared to the original?
It's a much better game. Mm-hmm. For one, they changed the magic system so that it acts like a devil trigger from the Devil May Cry games. Mm-hmm. And you powers up your attacks and it regenerates your health. Because in the first game, I don't know why they didn't do it in the first game, because your magic was basically used for torture attacks or for insta-kill moves. Those are still in the game, but you have to dizzy your opponent first.
Right. So how long is this game? How long is the campaign in Bayonetta 2?
People are saying it's shorter, but it's actually about the same length. The only difference is that it's not a slow pace, so...
Right.
And the game's been made easier, so it goes faster, or at least it seems it goes faster.
And that's the thing that I kind of like, is that, you know, yeah, I don't mind a shorter experience as long as it's an action-packed experience. And a lot of games, to be able to say, oh, we're 50 hours, well, there's a lot of downtime as well as the uptime.
And then there's lots of secrets to unlock.
Right.
Because it's one of the few games that are released today that are a full experience and doesn't have a DLC attached to it that could have been in the main game to begin with.
Right. So,
and so there's like lots of stuff that'll rack up your time, about 20 hours maybe. In the game itself, it's about 8 hours if you don't spend too much time trying to look for secrets.
So in your opinion, is Bayonetta 2 a reason to buy? Would Bayonetta 2 be the reason to buy a Wii U?
I'd say it'd be a reason to justify owning one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'd be a system seller.
Okay.
Especially since it's an M-rated title and that limits your audience.
Right. So tell us about the other game you were playing.
Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. Mm-hmm. It's the latest Shantae game by WayForward. And aesthetically, It seems like it's the best Shantae game. Best structured. There's no such thing as, like, warping. Basically, you go to set levels. So it works kind of like Castlevania Order of Ecclesia. I don't know if you play that. Where there's just a bunch of tinier areas, and that you, and there's a hub that you can go to to select them. And then whenever you're done, you can use a warp thing to warp back to the ship.
So for people who've never played a Shantae game, what is it? What's the gameplay?
It's an action platformer game, but this one's a little bit more like a Metroidvania.
All right.
I mean, there's not like one big world where you can explore and backtrack and anything else, so that it gets rid of that annoyance. But there's a whole lot of item collection and stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Well, see you later.
So that's it for me this week. Coming up next, they've got an interview as well, and I'm scrolling down to the list to get to them. Orange Lounge Radio, it's three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about video games for much longer than I do. They've been gone for 2 weeks, but they're coming back with a bang tonight. We're going to check in with them, see what they're going to be doing, and see how things were going. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Have you recovered from Vegas?
Yes, I have. And by the way, I did hear the show last week, and I would have been happy to do the call. I forgot. I don't always remember to send you an email going, you can call me, but yeah. Because I remember I was at that time that the show would have been on, I was out at dinner with some friends of mine that were originally from Vegas. So they knew like all the good places to eat, right? So I was out at dinner, and I remember looking at my phone going, oh, it's 6:15. I should be on OLR right now. So, yeah, sadly, that was at the time I would have been out. But, oh well, I got distracted with everything else going on in Vegas.
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out.
So how was it?
Not bad. I was expecting the thing to be a full-on hot mess because I had no idea what to expect, and I knew that even though Square had done these other fan conventions before, I knew it wasn't I didn't set the bar very high, so let's put it that way. And some of the events and the things that there were to see and do were actually kind of neat. Like, you know, they had like full-on archery that you could, like, you had to sign a little release thing, and they teach you in 2 minutes how to fire like a legit bow and arrow. Like, it was Gridanian archery and inspired by one of the classes and areas in the game, and that was kind of neat that they had that. And they had a special fight that you could only play at FanFest, and I assume that this is going to go into the game at some point, but who knows? But that's the Odin battle, not to be confused for those that play the game with the Odin Fate. This is a special Odin 8-man battle. So it was kind of neat that they had all that stuff. But and I detailed this a little bit more on Horde House this week. A lot of the problems kind of lied with the glue that held all that together with some of the organization. I kind of don't think there was really enough for the mass volume of people that they had to do. And that's really illustrated by the fact that, you know, they're closing lines at 4 p.m. for an event that's supposed to go on till what, like 9? Because they don't think they're going to run through the line before the last event starts.
It's like E3.
Sort of. It was like Disneyland or something. Except I don't pay $120 to go to E3. I know some people pay to go to E3, but that was the only stuff that bugged me. There was a lot of positives, and you know, the community at the end of the day is very, very important, and I had a great time. There was seven of us from our free company there, and of course, to have a party in Final Fantasy 14, you have to have a party of eight. So we actually pugged somebody IRL from a low pop server that was there at the thing by himself, and he played the Odin thing with us. It was like, hey, come to the room party on Saturday night with us, and he did, and we had a great time. So
if I had gone, I would have been your tank.
Which is exactly the class that we needed, too, Bobby. This guy was a tank.
Yeah.
I don't suppose there was any mention of Final Fantasy XI going free-to-play.
There was nothing on any other Final Fantasy game, and that's a big mistake. I think people thought when they saw Final Fantasy FanFest, this was one, it was, I'll say it, 98% Final Fantasy 14. That other 2% was the demo stations of Theatrhythm they had available. But nothing for 13 on Steam, nothing for, you know, the upcoming Monster Hunter clone they're doing, nothing, you know, nothing about anything else but the Theatrhythm.
Was there a Square Pit?
No, but there was a 4-hour merch line.
So this is a big week for games. Did you play any games this week? Any new games?
I did. Even as busy as I've been, I find that there's like a little gap between 10 o'clock and midnight usually where I can play some games. And on Friday, of course, we had some big ones come out. And I played both the big releases from Friday, Civilization Beyond Earth, which you know, you've already mentioned, and Bayonetta 2, which your caller mentioned. So I've been playing a little bit of those, not enough to really give you a full-fledged review, but I played those. And last week I jumped in with Peggle 2, which you might have missed, but that was on the PlayStation 4 finally. After its long exclusive window on Xbox One.
So yeah, see, I had it on Xbox One. That's why I missed it.
Ah, there you go.
So, Bobby, what do you think about, the new software development kit for Oculus allowing you to do games in Unity now and Unity free?
I'm looking forward to trying that.
That looks pretty awesome. Even just the render texture stuff for other non-Oculus use. Awesome.
Now, did they open that up? Did they just actually make render texture free, or did they actually? Because I know what they were talking about initially is Oculus was going to be a development target, so you no longer use the plugin.
I think because what I was reading that I guess it's just some like weird hack that they have as part of that software development kit that allows you to use it in free, and they were saying that you can get access to different things and stuff. I'm not sure if it's just going to be for that target, which it would be. That's fine if that's what it is. I mean, I understand they have to lock that stuff away. I would just wish it was free, you know.
Right. No, but I'm actually looking forward to getting back into Unity now that I can actually do that stuff. So, but that was released, I think, Friday, and then I actually had problems like installing just the runtime on my system, but I finally got that figured out. So now I can go in and play Time Rifters.
Yeah, that was a great interview. I'm looking forward to checking out that game myself.
So, you guys have an interview tonight.
We do. And this is a rare one. We don't do this very often, but, you know, we're all about supporting indie stuff. We're having a return guest tonight. Mm-hmm. The return guest coming on tonight is Mike Kennedy. He's a publisher of Retro Magazine, which we had on the show about a year ago, and they were kickstarting the first year of their magazine, and it was a success. They published, I believe, 6 issues because it comes out every other month, and they are currently kickstarting year 2 of the magazine. Well, funny enough, we booked the interview earlier this week, but they actually made their Kickstarter goal, so year 2 is going to happen. So we'll be talking about, you know, stretch goals, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, why did they go back to Kickstarter for year 2, and what are some things they learned from year 1, and so on and so on. So it'll be good to have a follow-up conversation with Mike. So print is not dead.
And we've both actually been mentioned in the first season of it. We were both in, you guys were mentioned in one, I was mentioned in another. So they're fans of the network.
Yeah, which is awesome. So how can we not roll out the red carpet to have them back on tonight? And I'm really glad they were kind of able to do it last minute because with next week being episode 573, I don't know, you know, we're probably going to have a special theme with that. And then in a couple weeks, I'm at BlizzCon. So sadly, I'm so sorry, live listeners, but with all these conventions, I'm not going to be here again. But this time we are really going to push to have something that we tape in advance. It'll be a little less crazy in that regard. So we'll have hopefully something on the feed at least. For our listeners.
So have you picked up your Xbox One yet for Fantasia?
I have not picked up my Xbox One yet for Fantasia, and I'm not sure that's going to happen for the holiday season, unfortunately.
Or Forza Horizon 2?
No, yeah, no disrespect to the fantastic game makers. I just, you know, for money reasons and all these stinking cons, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest. I want to see how Microsoft fares this holiday season because I sort of think if they don't do so well against Sony, they'll do something drastic price-wise come spring. And I don't know if that means a price cut or another bundle or something limited edition. I don't know what that's going to mean.
I honestly think they'll be just fine. Just because, like I said, I was telling you earlier when I picked up my PlayStation 4, there's so many games out for the Xbox One right now that I want that are exclusives that almost like I was like kind of torn, you know, like there's actually good games coming out right now for the Xbox One, not so much the PlayStation 4, but everything seems to run better on the PlayStation 4, and I know stuff will be coming out next year for the PlayStation 4, so that's kind of where I'm at right now with that. But it's tempting on both sides, especially after E3. Yeah. It's just like they've made a good argument why to buy each system. So,
well, and you know, and then you're going to have this holiday season. Now the Wii U is more of a contender as well for people that haven't picked that up because, you know, kind of Bobby, as you said earlier, does Bayonetta 2 make the Wii U worth a purchase? By itself, maybe, depending on what types of games you're into. I know some people that consider Bayonetta one of the greatest games ever made. So, yeah, Bayonetta 2 might be worthy of the system purchase, but here we are now where if you still don't have a Wii U, you've got Bayonetta 2, Smash Brothers Wii U, Mario 3D World, the Super Mario... Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8, thank you. The original 2D Mario, new Super Mario Wii U or whatever. Zombie U, you know, you've got quite a catalog of very attractive games you can't play anywhere else now. So it still bolsters. I mean, despite all the Wii U is dead talk, it still bolsters, you know, the Wii U is a pretty attractive opponent to families, and there's a lot of them that still haven't upgraded from their Nintendo Wiis and Xbox 360s.
All right, so what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Besides our interview and so forth, I guess we have a little bit of news that's been going on. Speaking of Nintendo, there was a Direct this week on Super Smash Brothers, so we'll be talking about everything that was revealed there. Some moving and shaking and personnel changes going on at Ubisoft, and we'll see maybe how that could shake down and impact some franchises. And PlayStation 4, you heard Loki mention it there. Loki has a PlayStation 4 now, so I'm not the only host now in this newer generation.
I mean, the new generation, or yes. The current generation, I guess.
Whatever you want to call it. So Loki's on board with that now as well. So we'll be getting his thoughts on that. And the 2.0 update, some details on that that's coming out this week for PS4.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next with Retro Magazine. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby.
So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for you to call in. And you can be here at VogNetwork.com, Voice of Geeks Network. You can catch live, interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can leave me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Remember, if you want to get into the contest for the next week from whenever this podcast episode goes up, which might be Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever, from 1 week from then, Steam keys. If you want to get a Steam key of Time Rifters, all you got to do is send an email to contest@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Answering what is the one daily task in your normal life you wish you could have a co-op ghost of yourself help you with. You can join the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. You can also submit questions on my website, BobbyBlackWolf.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, VHJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Nexion, ActDef, BaconBits, Bob Coffee, Buchikawa, Brad from PodCulture, Burr, Seal, DeBlueGuy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Game Guru, Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kenzie, Kazan, Mako, Melted General, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Page, Raginator, SJ1RMAT, The Rob D, Tiger Claw, Toagak, William Murderface, Yogazilla, and Zappy. So that's it for me. I'm going to go play with the new SDK now that I finally got it working for the Oculus Rift. And I just want to say that to make you drink one more time. Or I may go play Civilization Beyond Earth and not attack the aliens this time. It'd probably be good. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.